Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to call number five in our Transform Emotions into Energy series number five. With this one, we're working with transforming sadness and overexcitement. Overexcitement, or any really, it's just a general catch-all term that I'm using to indicate any other forms of joy that aren't quite actually accurate or true, all the types of false joy that are out there. So let's start with that, because false joy is sometimes a thing that needs a little bit of fleshing out for folks. So false joy, referring to any type of joy that doesn't come with a whole lot of stillness and ease and calmness inside the system, is a type of joy that likely has a little bit of tinging of fear, something to that effect. As that non-pure joy essence hangs on, it over time usually comes with something to this effect. We either think we need to hang on to it and not let it go, or we think that life will never be that good again. So we end up with nostalgia. Nostalgia is a type of false joy. And so anytime you flip through those old photo albums, oh, life's never going to be like that ever again. And that tends to go with that longing, that sense of grieving alongside the joy as you reflect back upon it. The other types that I often see that are really prevalent is that overexcitement. And that's the type of joy that goes, I'm just so excited, I cannot sleep. Or something to the effect of right before it's like Christmas Day or going on a big trip or the day before a wedding or a really big event that you might be looking forward to. All of the emotional activation that says, oh my gosh, that is way too much for me to process. That all turns into a different type of joy. There's still joy in there, but now it becomes tinged, usually again, with some level of fear here. And as a result of that, it's not exactly that calm, still sensation that we're meant to actually be in the presence of at all times. It is our birthright, in fact. It is your birthright to be in the experience of joy alongside of any of the other emotions simultaneously. Ah, that sounds like it may be a tall order, I know. And yet, nonetheless, this is actually the role of the fire elements in our system. And the fire element actually does correlate to a whole lot of things, including four different meridians. We will be unlikely to get through all four of them. I'm going to be focusing mostly on the heart and the small intestine. Triple heater and pericardium are the other two, in case you're curious what they are. We'll get into that territory just a little bit. Tonight's call, for anyone that might be here fresh for the series, will begin as always with a little bit of info. Then we're going to move into the actual session itself. Okay? And before I actually even get into things too much further, I'm going to remind you that tomorrow night is off, and that'll give you a chance to play catch up if you want to with any of the other previous sessions. Friday evening, 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time, is the integration session with Body Talk. And in that, I'll be going into the extra emotions, the extra combination emotions, as I call them. So I'll flesh that out on that call. And then on Saturday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time, is when we do the breathwork integration. And for that, I'll be bringing in a co-facilitator. His name is Marcus, and he's quite skilled in the arena of breathwork. We've done all of our training together over the years, and we've journeyed together in a number of different ways. So I should say that we trained through the same company at slightly different times in our lives, but we did all of our training through the same people. And as a result of that, we've gotten to know each other through a few different courses that were overlapping amongst our schedules. So know that we're going to have somebody else joining me on the internet for that particular event. For the breathwork, I'm going to invite you to set up in a way that allows us to actually see you, to see your body as you're breathing, so that we can actually be of optimal support. And what that means is you might need to fiddle in advance with your camera to show you that in a way that we can see mostly this part of you. Everything from the head down to at least the very waist. Ideally, a little bit lower would be great. Into the upper thighs would be amazing if that's available. And if the thought of having your camera on is giving you anxiety of epic proportions, know that we won't be forcing anybody to turn their camera on. However, I'm going to extend that as an option so that we can actually really see you well and give you appropriate cueing as a group. Okay? So we won't be singling out anybody or giving any specific feedback, but it does guide what we're offering if we can actually see you on camera. And I definitely don't need that in the body talk side of things, which is why you haven't heard that spiel before. But for breath work, it's just a little bit different. So if that's something that you'd like to join us for live, I would strongly recommend it. It's going to be one of those experiences that I think is going to be pretty unique in terms of what we're up to together, Marcus and I, that is. And as we. It's all on the Vibrant Transformation website. Thank you for answering that question. I got distracted. I'm going to ask the question out loud so you all know what I'm answering. The recordings are available on the Vibrant Transformation website, and you can also get a little bit of support. So, in all the emails that I've been sending out at the very top, I have a note in there saying if you are wanting a little understanding of how to access or find anything on my website, on Vibrant Transformation website, then go ahead and watch that video and it'll actually guide you through all the processes. So you receive that video in every one of the reminder emails except for the very first one. I didn't have it prepped for the initial call. And as we have it in all those other places, you'll also be receiving another reminder email this evening after I finish this call, and you'll be able to access it there too. Okay. Great question. Okay. And on that note, I'm going to switch gears to the fire element. Fire element is very much about growth and life. So we talked about the wood element as expanding through birth and growth. Where the wood element ends with that growth, the fire element begins to skyrocket it. It takes that growth and transforms it to the fullest expansion of what is possible in your life. There is something really special about that maximum expansion as it works through the energy of the heart's energy field. The heart's energy field, there's something very, very unique about it. It is 60 to 100 times stronger than any one of your other energy fields in your entire body mind, not a small thing. There's also something really unique that the heart has. The heart has its own brain, and what I mean by that is it has more nerve cells in the heart than there actually are in your head. They're just smaller. However, they carry a particular type of intelligence that supports a lot of awareness around our emotional states. And our connection to the I am, the awareness of I exist, period. Without labels, without ideas, without beliefs, it's behind all of that. Your heart has also an interesting thing that it does as an organ. It is extremely rare to ever find your heart getting cancer. Think of it. How many cases of heart cancer have you ever heard of? It can happen, but it's extremely rare. So isn't that interesting? The thing about the heart is that it has a whole lot of health available to it in ways where it tends not to actually get bogged down by too much. We talked about it a couple of days ago. The heart is actually not a pump, so it's not efforting in constantly pumping your blood through you. The heart is what contracts momentarily to invite you to pause, to invite you to stillness, to invite you to rest. And instead, as I mentioned the other day, the feminine heals in stillness. The feminine heals in stillness. So we can think of the heart as providing intense level of healing by pressing the pause button. That invites all things yin, all things feminine, to take a moment to just catch its breath. And it does that. It offers us a place to pause, to rest with every single heartbeat. And it actually, ironically, never rests itself. The heart is a pump, pardon me, not a pump, it's a pause point that continues to function 365, 24/7. It never ceases. If it does, it's usually not for long, or it's done. It's job. And the interesting thing about the heart in our animals, in our canines for sure, is that your animals don't actually get a buildup of the like atherosclerosis, clogged arteries that we often get associated with, oh, I have a heart disease. Animals, interestingly enough, don't ever get that buildup. They do have a ticker that runs out on them, but when they end, it just kaput, it ends. So there's something unique about the heart in other species as well, not just our own. I haven't studied enough of it in the other animals. I know the canines a little bit better than I do the others. So I'll leave it at that. What else can I tell you about the heart? It's very much connected to the deeper wisdom, the knowing, and the capacity to deeply synthesize life, capacity to process, capacity to also connect us to the essence of spirit, creator, God, universe, divine energy, whatever your words are for that. It's all welcome there. And that heart brain that I mentioned earlier that has all of the nerve cells forms our dominant aspect of our entire consciousness. So that awareness of our sense of self, one could argue, comes through the heart. In Body Talk's understanding of Chinese medicine, which albeit it takes a few liberties here and there, it has a tendency to associate the Shen, the spirit, the understanding of who you are beyond those labels within the heart complex. We also talked about the Shen is hanging out the other day between the eyebrows, which is more of a traditional Chinese medicine understanding. And we often see that acupuncture point being used if you've ever gone for acupuncture for general stress. Helps to calm things down and connect you to that sense of ease that's present when we are embodying our spirits, when we're embodying our Shen, when that's something that we're aware of being deeply connected and intertwined with. Our heart obviously governs our blood as well. And we talked a little bit more about blood. Was it yesterday, the day prior, in the last couple of sessions there? So I won't get too much into blood here. But know that if our heart is really strong, we will sleep well. We'll have really good dreams, no nightmares. We'll have a tendency to find ourselves waking up rested and easeful the next day. And if our heart was really on point, we'd have really good awareness. We'd have the capacity to take in information, to understand ideas, that it helps us to focus and think clearly alongside of the ones that we talked about yesterday within the earth element with stomach and spleen. And your heart is thought to connect you to the highest level of intuition available. It's often related to the tongue. So if you were to stick out your tongue and check it out, its condition tells you information about the heart, along with a lot of other things. Tongue diagnosis in Chinese medicine is not a small thing, but overall, generally speaking, the quality of the heart will tell you what's going on with the, pardon me, within the tongue will show you what's going on with the condition of the heart. I have another canine example for this. My first doggo had heart issues. I noticed the change in the color of his tongue. It went bright red. We had something called strawberry red. So we looked it up on the internet. Well, I looked it up on the internet. The dog did not. He can't type. But the thing that we noticed, I keep saying we, the thing I noticed on there was it all pointed to the signs of different supplements that would be helpful for the heart. Took him into the vet verified the heart, it was indeed a little compromised. We did some supplementation for him, did some body talk for him. Did a few things for him, and the color actually changed in his tongue from bright red back to like the normal color. So now I know whenever the tongue does something like that, it's important to pay attention to. He was the one who started me off on my little quest to notice those sorts of things. That was several years ago. So thank you to that first dog buddy for having teaching me so much, having taught me so much over the years. What else can I tell you about the heart? I could talk for a long time about the heart. I'll mention, as I already have actually a couple of times, The heart one acupuncture point hangs out in the very depth of your armpit. And if you've ever had a massage therapist crank their elbow or their thumb or their hand or whatever inside of that armpit, they're reaching in to work with one of the rotator cuff muscles, your subscapularis, which can rotate that arm in to help you to block the heart. This is really common in particular in women. Men tend to block their heart in a slightly different way. They tend to do this. They tend to go totally soldier-like. Nothing's getting through here. It becomes more of a concrete wall. And this is broad brushstroke, very, very generalized. Most of us have a little bit of both of those things happening to a degree. And the curled in shoulders go in with a lot of other things. I've spoken to that a little bit more previously, so I won't belabor that point here and now. So know that subscapularis is the muscle of the heart, where that heart one acupuncture point hangs out. And then the heart meridian continues down through the pinky finger, has a branch that goes internally to the stomach. That's where we get the expression, feed a man. Or how does it go again? A man eats with his eyes, not his stomach, something like that. No, I'm mixing it all up. Oh gosh, let me try again. You can reach a man's heart through his stomach. That's the one I'm looking for. That's it. Okay. All of a sudden I was flooded with all these different quotations that I'd all heard about food and the heart, and it all came flooding in. That's the one I was looking for. The heart is associated with astrology with house number five. House number five is about pleasure. It's about joy. It's about inner children. It's about your connection to creativity, along with social activity. And procreation helps to also procreate things. And as we work with that sense of heart, it also helps us to peel back the layers so we can creatively, playfully, with the innocence of a child, peel back the layers of who it is we are not, so we can land in the truth of who it is we are, the truth of who and what we are. And as this heart hangs out in the fifth house, it works with the planetary energy of the sun. The sun is meant to bring us to our fullest expression possible, maximum expansion here again. The sun also does the role of peeling back those layers of who it is we are not. Okay, that's a lot in the heart. I'm gonna switch gears and head into the small intestine. I won't talk as much about the small intestine. The small intestine is the yang counterpart to the heart's yin. If we are in a place of feeling brokenhearted, the heart might find that it's actually too much to deal with all of that energy. So it sends it down to the small intestine and says, "You deal with the brokenheartedness." And the small intestine is got that job to try to digest all of your strong feelings. It's why, if you've ever had a time of deep grief or a time in which you got very brokenhearted, maybe after a breakup that was particularly bad or chaotic in some way, shape, or form, we often feel like we can't eat because we're busy digesting the emotional experience and all the turmoil and all the everything that went on in that relationship. So, small intestine is attempting to break that del excuse me, break that all down. Let me grab a sip of water. It also helps to separate our fluid. This is where, in the actual organ itself, along with the meridian, it separates out the water that we need absorbed into our system, along with all of our nourishment. And it also takes anything impure that doesn't need to be here down through to the bladder. And it sends what is pure, the food, the nourishment that still needs to continue to be absorbed, through to the large intestine. So it decides and it makes those choices. The small intestine is about intellect, it's about awareness, it's about discernment, it's about the energy of house six. And the sixth house in astrology is very much about taking practical action and being in the service of healthiness to our body minds. Works, pardon me, works with the planetary energy of Mercury. Mercury is again about intellect and communication and curiosity within all of that. It also has the capacity to work with intellectual separation. So it helps us to, much in the same way, tease apart what works well and what doesn't for the fluid, for the food. It does the same thing on a mental level. It can take any concepts that we've stuck together and it can tease them apart. So we can actually take the part that works well for us and leave what doesn't. That's a function of Mercury and small intestine energy alike. What else can I tell you about it? It helps to also discern our appropriate behavior and the emotions that we work with in this, in particular, to guide that are the emotions of joy and sadness. Sadness is meant to get us in touch with our compassion, which means literally it translates through Latin to be with suffering. Compassion, to be with suffering. The more adept we are at sitting with our own sadness, with our own suffering, the more adept we become at being able to provide compassion to others around us. Compassion to those that we may have even felt wronged us. And this gives rise to support the forgiveness. Which is, as I think I mentioned the other day, according to the founder of Bodhita, the inability to forgive is referred to as the deadliest disease there is. The deadliest disease there is. The heart chakra is about opening up to allow for that sense of understanding through compassion, to be able to offer forgiveness as an act as well for our own self-compassion. To let that old thing go. So it's really, really helpful with both the small intestine as well as the heart, as well as the other two fire element meridians that I'll touch on but extremely briefly in just a moment. First, let me mention the small intestine muscles that we see a lot come up in body talk are the abdominals, along with the quads. So the big muscles in the front of our legs. On the upper legs, work with our intellect. So, we actually can support the development of our intellect by working out with our muscles of our legs and our abdomen. The abdomen muscles tend to act, I think of it as like a super highway. It's okay if you don't have super abs, I definitely don't. I avoid ab work a little, I must admit. Okay, I avoid it like a lot. And that super highway that runs. In the very core of us helps us to anchor in to our expansion from the very core of us. It helps to keep us centered in a way. That's how I think of the story of the abdominal muscles and what they provide for us. And I could open up a lot of other territory there if I was to go into the breath work, but if you've studied breath work, you've studied body mapping, you know all the different lines and what they correlate to. The abdominal small intestine is a big portion of that. So I'm going to leave it general at that. Okay. The other two I'll briefly talk about. The pericardium is the yin and it surrounds the external heart as an actual lining from a Western sense, as well as its own meridian. And it helps to protect the heart. So its job is to help connect us to the sensual side of life. And it actually correlates as well to circulation, to heart protection that I mentioned. And it works with all things related to right brain and Jupiter. It works with the ninth house, which is very much about our connection through expansion of our intuition, expansion through philosophy, religion, those types of studies that stretch our brain to think in different ways. And Jupiter is the planetary energy of growth, of expansion. This ties in nicely here. And the last one that I'll talk about is the triple heater meridian, or the three heater meridian. It has a couple of ways of being spoken to, so I'm going to use the body talk understanding of it for now. The triple heater is, as the name implies, has three areas where it heats. And they hang out upper, middle, and lower. The lower dantian hangs out just below the navel and overlaps, one could say, with the hara, with the sexual chakra. And for our purposes, we consider that to be one and the same, enough to be able to say that there's considerable overlap there in what the different cultures and studies and modalities and all the intertwinings have spoken to. We can say for our purposes they have enough overlap to be considered one and the same. Okay. The upper dantian is also referred to as the upper burner. This is where we receive, we take in. The middle burner is where we digest, where we take in all of our experiences that we receive, and we say, okay, what do I need to do with that? And then we release all that no longer needs to be here through that lower dantian. I'm gonna leave it at that. We could go into a lot of technical information on the triple heater. It's one of those ones that's interesting. It doesn't actually have a physical correlation. So it's only got an energetic function. It doesn't have like a physical organ or endocrine or something that you can like actually study in that kind of a way. Okay. So it's a little bit more vague. So I won't spend too much time on it. A lot of our lower leg muscles are tied into it though. And those lower leg muscles also overlap with the adrenals and their health and how they process stress. So how is it we're receiving, digesting, and releasing energetically our experiences will overlap with the healthiness of our adrenal glands as we see pop up through, in particular, the soleus and the gracilis, if you like fancy names, through the calf muscles. I'll leave it at that. Okay. So I'm about to switch gears. If there's anything else to mention for the session, feel free to let me know. And I want to say thank you. We have a couple people from Buddhas and Butterflies hanging on the call tonight. Thank you for being here. And thank you for all that you shared in the chat feature with me. That's super helpful to know. And on the note of Buddhas and Butterflies, I want to let you know, quick announcement. You've all likely had a chance to check out the area in the course where the lessons are and all of that. The very first one goes into more information on Buddhas and Butterflies, and I'm going to send you an email later this evening with a bit more info on it. Underneath all of the videos as well, there's links to the Buddhas and the Butterflies. And the Buddhas and Butterflies is a year-long program that will be starting next Wednesday. Next Wednesday. And we're going to be studying in this next year the different trauma responses. I'm excited to see how that all gets an opportunity to be sat with and be digested through a number of different tools, including body talk along with breath work. We're going to spend, as our schedule typically goes, 3 sessions a month doing fear, anger, and grief, for instance, or worry, joy, sadness, and all the combination emotions, for instance. And we'll be doing body talk sessions as they relate to every one of the trauma responses of the freeze, the fight, the flight, the fawn. And there's a few others and that I won't get into right now. And as we continue to explore those sessions will continue to get integrated with one breath work session every month. So we have 3 body talks and a breath work that are happening every month. And the price point on that is pretty impressive. If you were to price out what that would cost doing individual work with me, it's significantly higher. One session with me, for instance, is 180, but the Buddhas and Butterflies pricing is 85 a month, $85 a month, or an even cheaper deal of 850 for the year. And in that, you'll get the access to the everything that happens in that year. And you'll get 2 months free essentially if you pay for the year in advance. There's a couple of sign-up bonuses if you sign up by Saturday, what is that, June 3rd at midnight, you get a couple of extra things, and I'll let you check that all out. It's on the info in your emails and in your course there. And what else can I tell you about Buddhas and Butterflies? Essentially, it operates much like a Netflix subscription might. I've had a few people been with me through Buddhas and Butterflies from the very beginning. We do that same routine that I mentioned, and we've done it for the different senses, the chakras, the meridians, the 8 extra meridians, etc. We've done a few different themes over the years, and the folks that signed up with me initially got a heck of a deal because they got in on it on the ground floor. Every year I've raised the price a little bit, mostly. I think 1 year I didn't because of the circumstances in our world over the last few years. And I always promise that when people sign up at this price point, they get to retain it for life and they get to retain access to all the information that they've learned in that year with me, much like a Netflix subscription. Okay. But better, because Netflix does not let you retain your pricing. Last I checked, anyways, Netflix jacked up the prices for me, anyways. So as we work within the Buddhas and Butterflies structure, once you sign up for that year and you continue on as a member, you get to continue to receive that same pricing. Okay. All right. Oh, I have a question. I'll speak to that now, actually, as I switch gears, and I'll explain a little bit more about Buddhas and Butterflies. If you have any questions on that, feel free to let me know, and I'll speak to that a little bit more in session 6 on Friday, if there are any. Okay. Okay, the question that I have now is there a planet or house for the triple heater? Thank you, there is. The house for this is the 10th house. It's a house of career, achievement, recognition, expression, and it's associated with the planet of Saturn. Saturn is often thought of as like being the taskmaster. It's like the paternal energy of, did you get that done? And it's very much about creating realistic expectations and also organization. So Saturn helps us to get things accomplished and done. I think of Saturn as being very disciplined, has almost like a stoic energy at times. And it'll also help us get through those hard times by having the drive to keep going. It helps us to connect to the energy of being able to keep going, even though there's limitations and struggles coming our way. How can we approach those in a way that actually allow us to grow and excel and learn through? So Saturn has our back that way. I know Saturn gets a bit of a bad rap sometimes, especially when we talk about Saturn return. It's just doing its job of helping us to stay on track with life and giving us a little bit of guidance in the ways that it does, even though we might not like it. No. All right. As we officially turn to the session now, I'm going to invite you to settle in, get comfy and cozy, making any little adjustments or big adjustments that you might need. And as you tuck in to receive tonight's work, I invite you to begin by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, taking time to savor that, to receive it as nourishment. Then I'm going to invite you to, if your eyes are inward and closed, feel free to stay with them in that way. And if they're outward and open, feel free to keep them that direction. And I'm going to invite you to scan either your inward or your outward environment, looking in all directions. And as it looks around, letting the gaze, letting your attention land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. As it lands on that thing, as it lands on that thing, noticing what it is you like the most about that thing. Perhaps it's the color, the shape, Perhaps it's the size or what it reminds you of. Perhaps it's how the light and the shadow play. And as you notice all that's pleasant, beautiful, here to be with, what is it to deeply drink that in a way that allows you to savor this as nourishment? And as you savor this nourishment, breathing it in, drinking it in, and noticing what happens inside of your body and your mind as you receive it. What happens in here that feels pleasant? What is it that feels easeful? And whatever that thing is that's happening inside of you, maybe there's a few things. Invitation to savor that too. Invitation to savor that. And as you savor what's happening inside of you and how you're responding to it, or what's happening outside of you and how you're responding to it, giving yourself permission to take that in, maybe just 1% deeper. And as you continue to savor that all, receiving this nourishment, drinking it in, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for being here. And thank you to all that's gone into this possibility of being here, of being able to be here in this opportunity to connect as a group in this way. Thank you to your families that have created this, that created you. And thank you to all the ancestors and the lineages that have allowed for that intertwining in your unique expression of you. Thank you, the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all, that have nourished those before and those to come. And thank you to your villages that have offered nourishment and sustenance in their own ways, to all the family that you've claimed as yours. Thank you. And as we settle in, Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your journey, and blessings to all of those that have come before and those that will come after. Thank you. And as we start today's session, we're actually starting off, interestingly enough, in the 10th house. That's that house of the triple heater meridian, which I didn't overly mention this earlier, governs our endocrines and how they work in synchronicity. So the primary part of you that regulates all the endocrine flow happens through the pituitary gland, which also has a boss. It's the hypothalamus. The interesting thing here is we're working with the 10th house's energy around recognition as well as appreciation. So being able to support the pituitary gland in able and having its capacity to regulate all of the hormones throughout the entire endocrine system by means of enhancing recognition, enhancing appreciation. And as we offer it recognition and appreciation, it's as if I hear it whisper, Thanks for noticing. It's felt kind of thankless as of late. Thanks for noticing all that I've done and all that I continue to do. And as we offered our thanks, we're then going to link it into the hypothalamus to remind that it actually has support. It's not meant to do this job all on its own. It's not meant to feel like a lonely island. As we do that, releasing the essence of loneliness and the consciousness of feeling like the energy of not quite heartbrokenness, but a feeling of emptiness within the heart, that longing for fulfillment, that longing for more to be there. Without even necessarily knowing what that is, we might crave it through the lens of connection with another, or it might be a different type of a craving to find fulfillment on some other plane, in some other level, in some other realm. And as we support the release of that sense of loneliness through here, potentially even imagining what it might be like to not have that, just for the fun of it, not necessarily needing to take away from historically what's happened, but giving your system free rein to play with this as an idea as we link it into the fifth house, house of play, house of pleasure, helping to invoke that inner child level of imagination that's here. What would it be like to have a sense of fulfillment? To have a sense of satisfaction at a deep felt level. And as we do that, linking that as its own unique form of nourishment into all things yin, into all things feminine. And as we do this, running a cellular repair, restoring the cells now of the heart back to their fullest potential of health around the capacity to receive fulfillment and satisfaction in these ways. And as that arises, releasing the times in which the heart didn't feel like it got fed, the nourishing type of connections it wanted when you were in infancy, as well as when you were in the womb space, going all the way back to when the seeds of the what was to be your heart and your cardiovascular system formed on day 15. At a time when most of us don't recognize that we're even pregnant. And as you work with this, linking the understanding to it, that deprivation no longer needs to be a familiar state, no longer needs to be the thing that it's guarding against, no longer needs to carry that sense of lack consciousness or scarcity mindset that goes with deprivation. And as we do that, releasing the belief system of I must, I should, I have to deprive myself. As if there's this sort of like chokehold point on vitality and the expression of your fullest unique awareness of your sense of potential that's held in the heart. And the set point that says this is all that I'm allowed to have. I shouldn't have more than this. That programming is actually coming from that hypothalamus, which is the part of your brain that actually regulates your set point. It helps to keep things even. It's meant to regulate the metabolism, the heart rate, and a variety of other autonomic things that happen automatically to maintain, fancy word, that homeostasis. Or the pattern of operational states that your system naturally falls into. And the hypothalamus, we can actually tweak it so that we can adjust those set points. Those set points have been there as a familiarity, likely inherited and informed through the generations before, going through mom's side, through dad's side, and likely goes back a fair amount of generations. So, for instance, if we grew up at a time, many generations, let's say there's an ancestor rather, that grew up in a time in which there wasn't a lot of food available, their digestive system adapts to be able to extract every last little molecule of nutrition through the environment that I can possibly receive. So then it becomes really easy to gain weight. And in this lifetime, generations later, it might show up as everything I do, no matter what happens, I can't lose weight. It's because of the set points that are here. So as we tweak the set point around that idea of I must be deprived, I must not have enough, it's releasing with it the understanding of unworthiness that's inherent within this, I'll call it mindset or patterns of belief systems. And as it unwinds, going into the low back, where we often carry our sense of value or sense of the abundance that can go with when we are opening up on the other side of deprivation of scarcity. And our low back has a tendency to hang on to the blockages that get in the way of that. And here we're going into where the spine joins the sacrum. In women's, that tends to be at the level of the hips. It's around that L5, lumbar 5 to sacrum 1 junction. And this region is governed heavily by the kidney meridian, working with fear that it does. And here we actually need to bring in the essence of the heart and its capacity to connect us to, again, that essence of I am or the essence of spirit. Which might have a different perception of you than, and pick your word for spirit, God, creator, divine, energy, universe, whatever it might be, that which is greater than you, that which is eternal. As you bring that essence in, allowing for the perception that that energy might have of you to also be stored within the low back alongside of any other bits of unworthiness. Any bits of you that say, I don't have value. Any bits of you that say, abundance, not for me. I don't deserve that. I can't have that. And all the other programming and condition that's intertwined within this all. Not a small thing. And as we invite in a new perspective, a new possibility, we're going to run a Sidri on this through that region of the low back, and it's going to continue for the next 3 days. So until breathwork day, until Saturday, interesting. And for some of you, if you're listening later, then slightly beyond, which will also be supportive. Sidris is that acronym. And as we start, we're going to start with the C, which brings in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication. Lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our own nervous system and immune system to heal, and for that matter, most of our body minds. Also balancing here yin and yang, feminine and masculine, and running hydration, which helps to take in water, takes in joy, releases any impurities that don't need to be here. Then we have D for defrag. Much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, takes out all the clutter that doesn't need to be here. Then what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. All the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Think of this as getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking and opening up to other possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Thinking of this perhaps as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And then we're going to take all of that and we're linking it into the energy of the 12th house, which is again that house of releasing, letting go, And much like the energy of the fifth house, it helps to peel back the layers of who it is we are not. The fancy word for that is the individuation process, which individuation is actually a psychology term. I believe Carl Jung coined it initially. And we use it for the understanding of peeling behind the layers to access the essence, the truth of who and what you really are from a body talk perspective. And Carl Jung was decently in alignment with that. That's actually a pretty close understanding of what he thought about it too. He just did it through a lot more intellectual languaging, as psychologists are wont to do. Bless him. And he's a favorite teacher of mine, so I say that playfully. Although he's deceased, I feel like I've kind of known him and learned from him in person somehow. I've studied so much of his understandings, and I thoroughly enjoy him a lot. Thank you, Carl Jung, for your contribution to this realm, to these understandings, to this work. And then we're taking as that Sidri continues to run now for the next 3 days. We're gonna link it into the hearts, into the energy of part of what the heart does. It does a lot of things, which is to create balance. I haven't mentioned this yet about the heart. It balances all the chakras below, which from a body talk perspective are thought to be yang, which is different than most everybody else's perspective out there. And the three chakras above, which are yin or feminine, again from a body talk perspective, which is different from most. So regardless of if you think of the chakras as yang or yin, think of the heart as being the balancer of all of them, of all things yang and yin. It's the ultimate integration point. From a yogic perspective, we would either sequentially work our way upwards from the issues that we face in every one of the chakras, or we would become a bhakti yogi and we would enter what's referred to as the yoga of devotion. It's the yoga of heart. It's the yoga that says, just balance the heart. And everything else then balances from within there. Bhakti yogis tend to sing a lot, they tend to chant a lot, they tend to dance a lot, they tend to pray a lot. It's a place of devotion. And as we land in this heart's ultimate role of being the balancer of all things yang, of all things yin. The image that I see is of things intertwining in a way that allows them to land at the very center point of the heart itself. And that's linking into all things midline. The heart is often erroneously referred to as being on the left side of our body, and it's not. It's actually in the center. It's just at the left side of the heart itself. It's a muscle that's much more well developed because it has to be. It has to pump blood to your entire. Not pump, I have to correct my languaging. It's the pause point that retains the blood right before the blood then traverses through the entire body. Whereas on the right side, it just pauses simply for the blood that goes up to the lungs to get reoxygenated. So as we work with that understanding of the heart at the very center, and aligning it with all things, excuse me, all things midline. Bringing in the essence of the consciousness that flows through here from a breathwork understanding, which is that of trust. And as we connect to the energy of trust through the core, the center point of the heart, through the very core of the midline of your body, it's then linking into the right atrium of the heart, which is the upper right chamber of the heart. From a physical perspective, the heart has four chambers. That upper right one, from a body talk perspective, is thought to be where the essence of your soul is stored. And as we work with this connection to the essence of you at a soul level, running the permissions. It's safe to be here, it's safe to exist, and it's safe to come alive. And one more. It's safe to live. As we work with all four of those, intertwining at the depth of the depths of us, our soul. From there, being carried through the blood, out to the lungs to connect to all that it does, as long with out to the body to connect to all that it does there. And as it goes to the lungs, receiving oxygen, as it goes to the body, delivering that, and the energy that it receives through the oxygen, the energy that comes through our air, the energy that comes through our connection to life itself, gets circulated, is allowed to not just be paused, to be digested for a moment, but then also swirled and let go of, to move in that swirling type motion through the blood vessels. It travels in a helical kind of a manner as it does so through the system. And it actually, as it flows in this way, it flows in what's referred to as the golden ratio of phi, PHI. And this is the, where am I? Probably somewhere between physics and philosophy now. It is a physical understanding that your blood vessels are set up in a way that allows for things to be in constant states of motion. And that philosophical understanding gets tied in here as well to a degree, as the golden ratio of phi as it swirls is meant to connect us to our optimal health. It's meant to be also the building block of our entire body mind and our natural world. So your DNA flows in a helical way as well, in that same ratio. We see it in nature, we see it in the spiral patterns of a flower or any other element in nature that has a spiral to it, whether that's in our bodies, in the natural world. And ironically, it's also, this is something that's been studied, people actually know this and they actually create credit cards, for instance, that same golden phi ratio. And although not helical, the mathematics align to the ratio of the height and the width of your credit card to be in alignment with that. We tend to see things that are in this golden ratio of phi as optimally beautiful. And as we work with that flow of beauty now, flowing through the arteries, the veins, and allowing for all that wisdom that comes through the heart to be received as beautiful, as a resource, connecting it again into the fifth house, this time for its role in creativity. What's possible to create from this place? And as soon as I say that, there's a tendency, it looks like within the system, to go like, oh, I can't do that. I can't create that. Who am I to even think about dreaming to create in such a way? So what is it you're looking to create in your world? What is it you're looking to create in your world? Whether that's personal, professional, both, or something else. As we work with this, releasing the sadness that's connected to the quote-unquote pattern of the need to doubt. The pattern around the need to doubt. And within that, the energy of destruction of self-confidence. Inherent within that, the destruction of self-confidence. And that entire pattern, it looks like it's forming a pressure, a weight on the entire heart, coming down through the pericardium that surrounds it, creating, instead of support, this energy, or instead of protection, this energy of constriction. This is also tying into the energy of feeling overly contained in a way that might even feel stifling. And as we release this, as we unwind the connective tissue around the pericardium, we're going to also bring in circulation of all those healing resources, all the same ones that we listed off earlier in the Sidri, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, etc. And We also have to unhook a bundle of belief systems that were inherited through the family line. We're going back 6 generations down both sides of the family lines on an emotional frequency. This is of anxiety, of both worry and fear combined together, and for everyone will be slightly different. The anxiety, the worry, primarily focus. Oh, now it's actually, as soon as I said that, it gave me a few things. Give me one sec. Let me tune in and just see what it wants to distill into there with all of that energy. Okay, so it's not quite distilling yet, but it's carrying with it the energy around expression and feeling like that somehow got squashed 6 generations ago, and that feeling like the sense of self that got carried within your expression and got equally compromised. And within that, it led to not being able to produce the results that you wanted to, not being able to create in the ways that you wanted to, and also not being able to reproduce, to procreate in the way that they wanted it to happen back then. And there was a sense of, whatever I do, it's inevitable, I'll lose. And this also ties into a female relative that incessantly was seeking to get pregnant and just couldn't, and bore loss after loss after loss. And then, finally, was able to produce a child in a way that it was able to retain it and be with it. However, all the losses that had come before it were anchored into this little one that was developing. They took on that energy in the womb space, and that energy of loss became so shrouded in this particular relative that it played out in other ways. Not that they couldn't necessarily have more children, but that they couldn't seem to, well, really receive what they were looking for. Their whole pattern was, I must lose. That became literally their identity, and that pattern played out in almost everything they touched in on life. Rather than having like the Midas golden touch, it was the opposite of that. And as we, no wonder I couldn't distill it down into one thing. As we work with that, we're actually releasing that belief system of I must lose. And as we unwind that, I see that heaviness in the top of the heart around that pericardium all the way now, 3D, beginning to continue to unwind even more. And then we're going to bring in the natural planetary energy of the sun. What is it to welcome new life without having to do it through the lens of I must lose? What is it to welcome new possibilities, new growth, new opportunities? And to allow for that to expansively ripple through from the very core of your heart, rippling, pulsing, dancing alive. What is it to come alive in song and dance and play, rippling from the very essence, this very core of your heart, without having to be beholden to the legacies of the past, what's possible here and now. Linking that all through to the sixth house, house of practical action, house of that small intestine, house of intellect, awareness, discernment, and utilizing that as a form of being in service to ourselves. I see that it's also breaking down all those senses of loss, all those senses of having the heart broken through the family lines as well as in this lifetime. Through the 6 generations back, all the way to here and now, and all the way forward through your children and their children, if children are in the mix for you right now. Or perhaps not yet. perhaps they will be down the road and working with it in that arena as well, whenever they show up, if they show up. And interesting, this is linking now to house number 11. House number 11 is that of the gallbladder, and it's very much about group consciousness. It's the house of, as we work with the gallbladder, making choices, making decisions, catalyzing new action, new possibilities. And as we work with the energy of catalyzing new actions, also tying that into the capacity for new friendships, new connections to new groups. Calling in new sources of healthy, supportive connections through that essence of friendliness, of group consciousness, to help support your aspirations in a way that aligns with your sense of knowingness that you hold near and dear within you. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and receive. Okay, giving that a round of breath. And letting that integrate here. And we're going to do one more thing to support integration. We're going to link in cortices to all three brains, starting with the heart brain. Then the head brain, then the gut brain. As we work with cortices, it balances the two sides of our brain, balancing masculine, feminine. And if we can imagine that in this context, it's actually aligning us with the center line, the center point within the brains, aligning us with the essence of trust within our heart brain for its wisdom, trust for our head brain. And its capacity to clearly perceive with the support of the heart, along with the center point, to trust in this enteric nervous system for its instincts, its capacity to just simply know, as is also expression of the heart. And then linking that into the portion of the heart meridian that goes into the face. Giving rise for your capacity to face what's to come, acknowledging all that you faced before, and being able to readily again face forward. What might it be to look straight ahead and to take a step forward, even though you might not know exactly all the pieces that are involved? What might it be to orient yourself in such a way? As we do so, aligning all seven chakras, every single one of them, connecting them to their partners, the topmost with the bottommost, the base chakra, or the root chakra as it's often called, with the crown, the sexual or sacral chakra, with the brow, the solar plexus, with the throat, and linking every single one of them to the heart. To stand in your center alignment with the energy of trust rippling through, almost like a wave, through every one of those chakra connections. And then linking it to the very breath, this cycle of inhales and exhales as they ripple through and pulsate through you. Invitation to breathe and receive as we tap this part out here. Okay. And as we bring this session in for a nice soft landing, I have a song to play for you. And I'm going to invite you to tap into that resource if it feels like you would like a little extra support from what you found earlier. And a reminder, I mentioned it more so on the first call, but a general reminder that you can always tap out your cortices. And you can always tap out diaphragm to intestine to support yourselves as you continue to integrate. This next song, I'll pop it into the chat feature as well, is 5 minutes long. It's called Culture of Love. It's by Maestra, and it's from the album Culture of Love. So I invite you to breathe and receive.
Obscurity, yeah, the world I see, malicious and vicious traditions masquerade around as the right way to be, it seems. Cultures got pull with the people, fear in the shadows and nets built in steeples. So easy to fall into that hole if it's how we were born. You say it's just the things that I have been taught, it's just the way that I was brought up. It's just the way that my people live, no other way but to give in. You've been speaking to me like different is dangerous, like the world's got no space for us, but our timing is perfect, the new world is worth it, and we're waking up. Who the hell am I to say I am God, and God is us, and we are not lost? Whistleblower to stand for a different culture, a culture of love. Who the hell am I to be allowed and free to show up as I am, determined to be dismantling the pain we bring, the stories and service and suffering's purpose in society. I'll give you a key, the answer is me. Look in the mirror, where the source of our own suffering. You want the world to change and rearrange to be in line with the love you bring, with the light you see, with the light you see. Set your own heart free. Oh, who the hell are you to say you are God? Whistleblower to stand for a different culture, a culture of love, a culture of love. I'm giving up resistance, my heart is insistent. Offer my soul to you in every instant. Authentic calling to my one true mission, to love the world through my music and vision. I'm all in, ready to fall in line with this love divine, with this world of mine. Together we'll rise and bring the shadows right to a place of light. I offer my life, and I need you to live a life you love, and I need you to know that you're enough just as you are. And we are on the cusp of this new world, and in you I trust. Every broken piece in place of shame is just love showing you the way. So let the darkness teach you your own name, so in the shadows you can stand and say, answer. I'll tell you who I am. A culture of love. A culture of
Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for bringing all of you here. Mwah. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Blessings on the rest of your evening, your week ahead, and we'll meet you back in a couple of nights. I look forward to sharing this recording with the other 120-some people that are actually a part of this group. And feel free to keep that going. The last time I think I gave an update, we're at about 100 or so. So feel free to share it as much as you like. It is free for another 5 days, so feel free to circulate that to anyone else who you know might be interested in this. Okay. All right, y'all, have yourselves a beautiful evenings and morning or afternoon, depending upon what time zone you're joining us from. And we will see you in a couple of days. Okay. Bye for now, loves. Oh, I'm glad you like the song. Yeah, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. Okay, bye for now.